The History of the Latter-day 70 by Elder L. Alden Porter of the Presidency of the 70. As President Spencer W. Kimball stood at the pulpit of the Salt Lake Tabernacle on the 3rd of October, 1975, few of those watching realized the significance of the statement he was about to make. Though it did not appear to involve major action at the time, his announcement would eventually affect the way the church was administered throughout the world. He said, "Today we announce to you the appointment of 4 new general authorities, 70s, to assist in the carrying forth of the work of the Lord. The first quorum of the 70 will be gradually organized, eventually with 70 members, the presidency of which will be made up of the 7 members of the present First Council of the 70. The day had arrived when the growth of the church required the reconstitution of the first quorum of the 70. It had been nearly 150 years since the church had its beginning in Fayette, New York, in a humble log cabin. Church membership had grown from 6 men into millions, with hundreds of thousands of converts being added each year. Over the years, the organization of the 70 has changed to meet the needs of the worldwide church, but the 70's mission has stayed the same: to preach the gospel, to be a special witnesses of Jesus Christ, and to help the apostles build up and administer the church." Doctrine and Covenants, section 107, verses 25 and 34. The 70 called. The history of the 70 in this dispensation began in the early years of the Restoration. On the 8th of February, 1835, the prophet Joseph Smith called Elders Brigham and Joseph Young to his home in Kirtland, Ohio, and related a vision he had received about those who had died in Zion's camp. He then said, "I wish to notify all the brethren living in the branches within a reasonable distance from this place to meet at a general conference on Saturday next. I shall then and there appoint 12 special witnesses to open the door of the gospel to foreign nations, and you," said he, speaking to Brother Brigham, "will be one of them." After explaining their duties, he then turned to Elder Joseph Young with quite an earnestness, as though the vision of his mind was extended still further, and addressing him said, "Brother Joseph, the Lord has made you president of the 70s. They had heard of Moses and 70 elders of Israel and of Jesus appointing other 70s, but had never heard of 12 apostles and of 70s being called in this church before. It was a strange saying. The prophet has made you president of the 70s, as though it had already taken place, and it caused these brethren to marvel." 48 days later, the revelation known as section 107 was given, which included the following instructions. "The 70 also are called to preach the gospel and to be a special witnesses unto the Gentiles and in all the world, thus differing from other officers in the church in the duties of their calling. And they form a quorum equal in authority to that of the 12 special witnesses or apostles just named. The 70 are to act in the name of the Lord, under the direction of the 12 or the traveling high council, in building up the church and regulating all the affairs of the same in all nations, first unto the Gentiles and then to the Jews. The 12 being sent out, holding the keys to open the door by proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and first unto the Gentiles and then unto the Jews." Doctrine and Covenants, section 107, verses 25, 26, 34, and 35. A few months after the death of the prophet Joseph Smith and his brother Hiram, a general conference of the church was held in Nauvoo on the 6th through the 8th of October, 1844. Much of the conference was devoted to putting the organization of the priesthood in place, in accordance with a motion Elder Heber C. Kimball of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles presented early in the conference, "that we as a church endeavor to carry out the principles and measures heretofore adopted and laid down by Joseph Smith as far as in us lies, praying Almighty God to help us to do it." This motion carried unanimously. As part of this conference, President Brigham Young said to the 70, "You are all apostles to the nations to carry the gospel, and when we send you to build up the kingdom, we will give you the keys and power and authority." This statement of President Brigham Young can be better understood by referring to a statement made by President Joseph F. Smith. The 70s are called to be assistants to the 12 apostles. Indeed, they are apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, subject to the direction of the 12, and it is their duty to respond to the call of the 12 under the direction of the First Presidency of the Church to preach the gospel to every creature, to every tongue and people under the heavens to whom they may be sent. Members of the 70 received delegated authority from the First Presidency or Quorum of the 12 Apostles to function in their appointed roles. An unfolding organization. When the saints left Nauvoo, there were 35 quorums of 70. This number had increased to 146 by 1904. It was clear that these were general church quorums and not state quorums. Their major responsibility was to serve as emissaries of the Lord across the earth. Then, during the mid-1930s, the First Presidency and the Quorum of the Twelve placed the 70s under stake supervision. In the October 1976 General Conference, 1 year after President Kimball had indicated that the First Quorum of the 70 would be gradually organized, he said, "In 1941, five high priests were called to assist the 12 apostles in their heavy work and to fill a role similar to that envisioned by the Revelation for the First Quorum of 70. The scope and demands of the work at that time did not justify the reconstitution of the First Quorum of the 70 in the intervening years. Additional assistants to the 12 have been added, and today we have 21. Commencing a year ago, brethren other than the First Council of 70 were called into the First Quorum of the 70, and at present there are 14 in that quorum, including the First Council. Since the functions and responsibilities of the assistants to the 12 and the 70 are similar, and since the accelerated worldwide growth of the Church requires a consolidation of its administrative functions at the general level, the First Presidency and Quorum of the 12, with the concurrence of the assistants to the 12 and the First Quorum of the 70, have felt inspired to call all of the assistants to the 12 into the First Quorum of the 70, to call four new members into that quorum, and to restructure the First Council of the 70. With this move, the three governing quorums of the Church, defined by the Revelations, the First Presidency, the Quorum of the 12, and the First Quorum of the 70, have been set in their places as revealed by the Lord. This will make it possible to handle efficiently the present heavy workload and to prepare for the increasing expansion and acceleration of the work, anticipating the day when the Lord will return to take direct charge of His Church and kingdom. This action more clearly established the relationship of the 70 to the 12 as described by the Lord in the Doctrine and Covenants, section 107, verse 38. It is the duty of the traveling high council to call upon the 70 when they need assistance to fill the several calls for preaching and administering the gospel instead of any others. On one occasion, Elder Bruce R. McConkie, 1915 to 1985, of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, listed three things which had happened in his lifetime, which he said would do more than anything else for the spreading of the gospel, for the perfecting of the saints, and for the salvation of men. The first of these three things was the receipt of the revelation which makes the priesthood available without reference to race or ancestry. The second was the organization of the First Quorum of the 70 as the third great council of the Church. And the third was the publication of the standard works with the new teaching aids that accompany them. The unfolding of the present-day organization of the 70 continued with an announcement in the October 1978 General Conference by President N. Eldon Tanner, 1898-1982, a counselor in the First Presidency. "The very rapid growth of the Church across the world, with the attendant increase in travel and responsibility, has made it necessary to consider a change in the status for some of the brethren of the general authorities. Some of our associates have served for many years with complete and unselfish dedication, and they deserve every honor and recognition for such devoted service. It is felt advisable at this time to reduce somewhat the load of responsibility that they carry. After a long period of prayerful consideration and counsel, extending indeed over several years, we announce a new and specific status to be given from time to time to brethren of our associates in the general authorities. We announce that some brethren have been designated as emeritus members of the First Quorum of the 70. These brethren are not being released, but will be excused from active service. It is out of consideration for the personal well-being of the individuals and with deep appreciation for their devoted service that this designation will be given from time to time to designated members of the general authorities. The call to serve as a member of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles is, of necessity, a call for life. This is so because of the Lord's system of seniority, whereby the president of the church is chosen. This same system of seniority does not exist among the 70, and there is no need for them to give a lifetime of service as 70s, even though that was the practice for many years. On the other hand, the presidency of the 70 is unique. Most presidencies in the church have a presidency of 3, a president and 2 counselors, but the revelations indicate a different organization for the 70. Note that in the presidency of the 70, all are presidents, none are counselors, and it is according to the vision showing the order of the 70 that they should have 7 presidents to preside over them, chosen out of the number of the 70, and the 7th president of these presidents is to preside over the 6. Doctrine and Covenants, section 107, verses 93 and 94. The 7th, or presiding, president is the one with the most longevity or more uninterrupted years of service in the presidency of the 70 than the other 6 presidents. A constant infusion of new talent. In the 1980s, several additional inspired decisions accelerated the opportunity of the 70 to serve while they remained of an age and in a status of health that the heavy rigors of the work would be accomplished. In the April 1984 General Conference, President Gordon B. Hinckley, then a counselor in the First Presidency, explained, "In the case of the 70, we are putting into effect the practice long generally followed and accepted in the Church with reference to other offices. Members of the First Quorum of the 70 are general authorities in every sense, in calling, in responsibility, in power and authority. Theirs have been permanent appointments, and those presently serving will continue so to serve. However, tenure of appointments is not important insofar as the work is concerned. Calls to serve as bishop, stake president, regional representative, mission presidents, temple president, and president of auxiliary organizations are for a period of years. The individual is then honorably released, and others are afforded the opportunity of service. After much prayerful consideration, we have called 6 men, mature and tested through long years of service, to become members of the First Quorum of the 70, to serve for periods of 3 to 5 years, just as a mission president or temple president would do, and then to be released with honor and appreciation. While they so serve, they will be general authorities with every right, power, and authority necessary to function. They will be expected to give their full time to this work while they're in office. This procedure, we feel, will provide a constant infusion of new talent and a much widened opportunity for men of ability and faith to serve in these offices." Then in October 1986, President Ezra Taft Benson made the following announcement. "In harmony with the needs of the growth of the Church across the world, the First Presidency and the Council of the 12 Apostles have given prayerful consideration to the role of the stake 70s quorums in the Church and have determined to take the following action relative thereto. The 70s quorums in the stakes of the Church are to be discontinued, and the brethren now serving as 70s in these quorums will be asked to return to membership in the elders' quorum of their wards. Stake presidents, in an orderly fashion, may then determine who among such brethren should be ordained to the office of high priest. This change does not affect the First Quorum of the 70, members of which are all general authorities of the Church. At this time, we commend all who have served, both past and present, as members of Stake 70's quorums of the Church, and who have so ably given of their time, talents, and resources in spreading forth the gospel of Jesus Christ. This announcement was in keeping with President Brigham Young's statement more than 138 years earlier. The 70s are not called to be a local body, but are ordained to travel, ordain local officers, and build up and set in order the whole kingdom of God upon the earth wherever it is necessary. New quorums formed. In the early days of the Restoration, the Lord made provision for the future growth of the church when he said, "And these 7 presidents are to choose other 70, and also other 70 until 7 times 70, if the labor in the vineyard of necessity requires it. And these 70 are to be traveling ministers unto the Gentiles first, and also unto the Jews." Doctrine and Covenants, section 107, verses 95 through 97. The day came, as prophesied in the Scriptures, when the work required that an additional quorum of 70 be organized. This was done in April 1989, when President Benson said in the General Priesthood Session, "With the continued rapid growth of the Church, the First Presidency and the Quorum of the 12 have determined that the time has come to take additional steps to provide for the expansion and regulation of the Church. We announce, therefore, the organization of the Second Quorum of the 70 to become effective immediately. The initial membership of the Second Quorum of the 70 will be those general authorities currently serving under a 5-year call. Additional brethren will be added to the Second Quorum of the 70 from time to time, and will serve as 70s and as general authorities also under a 5-year call." The work continued to expand, and 6 years later, in preparation for further fulfillment of the role of the 70s, President Gordon B. Hinckley said in the April 1995 General Conference, "Now, in the ongoing of this work, administrative changes sometimes occur. The doctrine remains constant, but from time to time there are organizational and administrative changes made under provisions set forth in the revelations. For instance, 28 years ago, the First Presidency was inspired to call men to serve as regional representatives of the 12, to train our stake and ward leaders in the programs of the Church, that they in turn might train the membership in their responsibilities before the Lord. At that time, there were 69 regional representatives. Today, there are 284. The organization has become somewhat unwieldy. More recently, the presidency were inspired to call men from the 70 to serve in area presidencies. As the work grows across the world, it has become necessary to decentralize administrative authority to keep general authorities closer to the people. We now have such area presidencies well established and effectively functioning. It is now felt desirable to tighten up the organization administered by the area presidencies. Accordingly, we announce the release, the honorable release, of all regional representatives effective August the 15th of this year. Now we announce the call of a new local officer to be known as an area authority. These will be high priests chosen from among past and present experienced church leaders. They will continue with their current employment, reside in their own homes, and serve on a church service basis. The term of their call will be flexible, generally for a period of approximately 6 years. They will be closely tied to the area presidencies. They will be fewer in number than have been the regional representatives. We are guided in setting up this new corps of area officers, as were our brethren before us in the calling of regional representatives, by the provision contained in the Revelation on Priesthood, section 107 of the Doctrine and Covenants. After directions to the 12 and the 70, the Revelation states, "Whereas other officers of the Church, who belong not unto the 12, neither to the 70, are not under the responsibility to travel among all nations, but are to travel as their circumstances shall allow, notwithstanding they may hold as high and responsible offices in the Church." The call of area authorities was a preparatory step for what occurred just 24 months later. In the April 1997 General Conference, President Hinckley announced that the area authorities would now be known as Area Authority 70s. He said, "They will continue with their present employment, reside in their own homes, and serve on a church service basis. Those residing in Europe, Africa, Asia, Australia, and the Pacific will become members of the Third Quorum of 70. Those in Mexico, Central America, and South America will become members of the Fourth Quorum of 70. Those residing in the United States and Canada will become members of the Fifth Quorum. They may be assigned to A. Preside at state conferences and train state presidencies. B. Create or reorganize stakes and set apart stake presidencies. C. Serve as counselors in area presidencies. D. Chair regional conference planning committees. E. Serve on area council presided over by the area presidency. F. Tour missions and train mission presidents. And G. Complete other duties as assigned. Consistent with their ordination as 70s, they become officers of the church with a specific and definite tie to a quorum. While there will be only limited opportunities for them to come together in quorum meetings, the presidents of the 70 will communicate with them, will instruct them, receive reports, and do other things of that kind. They will now have a sense of belonging that they have not experienced up to this time. As 70s, they are called to preach the gospel and to be especial witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ as set forth in the Revelations. Though all 70s have equal scriptural authority, members of the first and second quorums are designated general authorities, while members of the third, fourth, and fifth are designated area authorities. Although the ordination to the office of 70 is without term, a 70 is called to serve in a quorum for a designated period of years. At the conclusion of this service, he will return to activity in his respective ward and stake and will meet with his high priest group. With these respective quorums in place, we have established a pattern under which the church may grow to any size with an organization of area presidencies and area authority 70s chosen and working across the world according to need. Today, there are 276 members of the 70 called, as the Lord has said, to bear record of my name in all the world, wherever mine apostles shall send them, to prepare a way before my face. Doctrine and Covenants, section 124, verse 139. These 70s supervise the work of the church under the direction of the Quorum of the Twelve in 28 areas scattered across the earth. The number of areas and quorums will certainly increase as the years pass and the work intensifies, but the organization is now in place to keep the administration of the church close to the prophets, seers, and revelators whom the Lord has called to direct the work. Yet, this work has hardly begun, and the future is bright with the promise that the ordinances and covenants of salvation and exaltation will be made available to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. 1 Nephi, chapter 19, verse 17. The revelations have made clear that this kingdom will roll forth as the stone cut out without hands and become a great mountain and fill the whole earth. Daniel chapter 2, verses 34 and 35. Gospel topics: apostles, area presidencies, missionary work, 70. End of the article, The History of the Latter-day 70, by Elder L. Alden Porter of the Presidency of the 70.